Radio Chelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
May 12, 2023, allegedly according to that thing we call a calendar, and this is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. It is Friars Day, Friday that is, the last broadcast day of the week, generally speaking, for the O'Chelly Effect Network and all that. Oddly, I can't get hold of my co-host, so I am solo at the moment. Now, I'm going to keep trying to get BP on the line, but in the meantime, you could join me and therefore us at some point. I expect I'll get BP'd on the line. I don't know if he's having trouble with his internet or what. I sent him a text, tried to call him. So far, not so good. But anyway, it is what it is. We got plenty of things to discuss here on the show tonight, and you can join me here. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call, and you can be part of the show. Or you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype, and I'll gladly bring you into the show. With any luck, we'll also be joined by my co-host, BP, at some point. But if not, we'll carry on for a little while anyway, and get to the week that was, I guess, or the couple of weeks that was. Because, interesting, isn't it? Anybody take note of Tucker Carlson and the fact that he is now going to, he's done a big announcement, he's going to go to Twitter, and he's going to be independent, no contract or anything. Elon Musk wants to make it very clear there's no contract, and he's very, very glad that the free speech platform that Twitter is now going to host the newly leased, or newly loosed, Tucker Carlson, who talked about the mainstream media and how he's going to tell you how they lie to you. If you checked out his announcement earlier this week, certainly this has been covered and recovered by plenty of people, everybody from Russell Brand to CNN took note of this. But here we go. What is Tucker going to do? Exactly what I said he's going to do. He's going to invade the independent media and claim that he is an alternative type of media person. Now, he's probably not going to use that verbiage, probably not going to use our nomenclature right up front, but he is going to say that he's part of the opposition, and I assure you, it will be controlled. Of course, you can go on Twitter for free and go ahead and loose something that you call a podcast. Sure, you can do that, and you can broadcast live via this feed, that feed, the third thing. I'm very, very certain he'll be quite available on Rumble shortly, too, and all of the platforms that everybody has gotten used to that are supposed to be free of censorship. Tucker is going to be unleashed, pretty much like Richard Gage is now unleashed in his podcasts, right? Anyway, but I don't want to insult Richard Gage by comparing him to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is an elitist, a guy who is in a privileged position, a guy who has, you know, the trust fund, the untrustable trust fund that is, there he is. And this guy's bounced around through every, you know, he's a right-wing media guy, that's why you don't like him. No, he is just an average shill that finds different opportunities in different places because he is actually an opportunist, not an alternative media person, not an independent media person, not independent in that he actually creates his own thoughts. I mean, even when he makes a spectacular statement, a fantastic claim, he backs it with nothing. And he does that across the board. Now, he has been positioned for the longest time as part of the opposition because the general mainstream is supposed to have been turned against the right wing. But again, look for the opportunists. Look for the changing waves. Did you notice that the CIA trained asset over at CNN, the albino one, Anderson Cooper? Did you notice that he is now turning almost seemingly right wing? He's going to do a whole hour special on what the hell is wrong with San Francisco, focusing on the crime levels. Literally picking up the talking points that only maybe a couple of weeks ago would have been the exclusive preview on, you know, broadcast corporate media of Fox News. Anderson Cooper's swinging that way. This 2 days, is it 1 day, 2 days? I don't know. It's all a blur. after they gave a town hall for, you know, what? Was it 1 hour, 2 hours? I don't even know. To Donald Trump to say what he wants. Oh, they were attacking him the whole time. Yeah, attacking him but letting him speak. Attacking him poorly and letting him speak. And legitimizing him and letting him speak. And continuously just making it all about the argument. Oh, he's lying. He says that the election was still stolen. He won't say that the election wasn't stolen. He won't. And they're also very, very upset that she says that, that he says. I don't want to mix up my pronouns. Not on Trumpy. Anyways, that he says that Ashley Babbitt was a good person and was murdered by a thug. So, of course, CNN is focusing on, well, he, of course, is calling that person a thug because it was a black cop. Interesting how people flip and flop over when they want to support the cops and not. Got to tell you, my default doesn't go that way. I generally question anything they do. Do I think Ashley Babbitt was an innocent bystander? Absolutely not. But do I think that she might have been shot? Kind of a hard call to make. What was the circumstance? Oh, I know. They were just tourists there, and her smashing that window and trying to jump over a piece of furniture and whatnot. That was all about the tourism game that day. I know. It's okay. And I'm not even saying that she deserved to get shot. I'm just saying that to reflexively jump on it the way that they are, interesting. But either way, he is part of their programming schematic. He is part of the thing that they're going to do. He is essential to their ratings run coming up. Now, I've heard other people say that Fox is switching over to left wing. Is CNN looking to replace them? No, they're not. What's happening is that CNN is going to attempt to make themselves once again appear objective. Are they? Of course not. And it's not, you know, Tucker Carlson's thing about they don't give you complete reporting, therefore it is a lie. Think about the fallacy built into Tucker Carlson's whole thing about why it is the mainstream manipulates you. See, they manipulate you because they don't give you all the facts, according to Tucker Carlson. The massive problem with that is not just that they omit certain facts. I mean, indeed, this is accurate, that omission of certain facts does shape, cultivate a story, does make things appear a certain way when you leave a whole lot of facts out, when you leave a whole lot of reality-based circumstances out. That's true, but that is not the key to the manipulation, you see. No matter what you do, you can't possibly report all of the factual-based information that could be presentable. At all times, you have to make an editorial choice. I mean, I could tell you what shoes person was wearing, exactly what size they were, and if the left one or the right one was tighter on a killer's feet at the time they murdered somebody. Is it relevant? Most likely not. Is it relevant who somebody voted for if they chose to beat their wife to death? Probably not. But you see, the inclusion of certain circumstantial things that are not relevant, that are not poignant, that are not salient, this is also part of the game, and that is usually the manipulation game that Tucker Carlson engages in. And he did it, by the way, quite well at MSNBC. And he did it quite well at the now long-abandoned format that was, what, Crossfire, this kind of thing, confrontational, right? Sort of like Bill O'Reilly's shell game at that, where he'd say, there's no spin here, you're going to come in here and we're going to speak freely here. And then he would shut down people whenever they began to make a point, because he absolutely had no tolerance for their spin in light of the fact that it would contradict his. So it was the all-spin zone instead of the no-spin zone. And now that he's been sort of put out to pasture, I mean, given enough money and enough support so that he can independently survive, the funny organic reaction out there is that the biggest star in Fox News, at one time Bill O'Reilly was, doesn't even matter. I publish many, many books. Right. Books are kind of irrelevant in the general. The general mindset of the public. They're kind of not part of the game there as far as shaping the opinions and the thought processes, because you see, in order for a book to have an effect, somebody would have to read it. And even if they did, even in his Killing series, which he did many, many books, I mean, he's published a lot of them. In his Killing series, the pointless point continues to be made. And did anybody actually, if they bought them, did they read them? Another good question. You know, somebody asks a question sometimes, like when you see somebody that sells millions of books, and yet nobody knows really anything about them or about the story they told in the book. It's fascinating because you go, well, I mean, they literally couldn't just tell us that this person sold a million books and then they didn't. I mean, that must mean a million people know this story. Again, you're relying on the idea that somebody actually read it. Just like when people are popular, allegedly, according to the ratings, you're imagining first that this is real, which it may or may not be. You know, I mean, it could be Arbitron or it could be the, what was the Nielsen thing? One way or another, I mean, the metrics for measuring this could all be accurate. They could be the most popular person in the world. Now, as far as, what did they used to call that? The comprehension of the listener, of the viewer goes, this is not the same metric. A billion people could be tuned into a channel. It doesn't mean they understood the information presented. It doesn't mean they actually heard what was being said. I mean, you could literally turn on, I mean, in a country where, well, let's just go with America. Why not? Lowest hanging fruit on this one. If somebody were to tune in and there were, 100 million Americans decided to tune in to a completely foreign language spoken thing that, presented the Miss Universe pageant, let's say. And I know we wouldn't get 100 million, whatever, but you'd probably get a couple of million if there was like a massive, really cool thing that went on with the Miss Universe pageant where, I don't know, let's just say this year they're presenting, the nude modeling section. As an artistic thing, not for pornography's sake. But let's just say they were going to allow that because it is an artistic expression. They were going to put it on regular broadcast TV. Okay, which isn't regular broadcast TV anymore. But generally speaking, on highly accessible television. And it's only going to air live and you're not going to get it on demand. There could be 10 million people tuned in there. Now, if the commentators explaining to you who the ladies were, what they were doing, and everything else was in a language not widely spoken on the planet. I mean, I do mean something like, one of the Armenian, what are the Armenian languages at this point? Well, let's just pick one of those. Let's just say it's in Armenian. Okay? It's not Spanish, it's not English, it's not spoken by a significant population on the planet, and certainly not by a significant population. They would not have complete command of the Armenian language, say. Just theoretically. If that was the case, a whole lot of commentary could go right on by, totally not heard, it is heard, but not comprehended by the listener because, at the end of the day, a lot of people, and I gotta say people, not just guys, but mainly guys, people that identify themselves as males, might want to see Miss Universe nude. They would tune in, but would they comprehend what's really going on? And indeed, would they do just like a lot of guilty little kiddies used to do in Generation X? I mean, they might turn around and use a bra catalog, not because they're looking to buy a bra, but because they want to see the pictures of the ladies modeling them. Just saying, it's not about necessarily the quality of the presentation. Because you could say that that bra catalog was mailed out to a million people. Did a million people buy bras? Is there a chance a million people would buy bras? Is there a chance that there, well, at least back when I was a kid and probably when B. Pete was a kid, that there might have been, 60, 70,000, let's call them teenagers or tweenagers, somewhere in between the age of 10 and 13. How many of them would probably only make it to page 2 or 3 of the catalog and they're not looking to buy a bra either? How many times would that happen? Does that mean that they well received the information about the bra? They know about the type of stitching that went into it? They know that the cross-lace one is actually more money because it's of a better construction, it's higher quality, and it's got a wonderful tag on it? Would they know any of that? No, I don't think so, but they might know, maybe, just maybe, that that's a redhead on page 4, and she is definitely more endowed than page 3. That they might know. So, interpretation, comprehension, these are not necessarily directly tied to viewership. But back to this whole thing. The shift going on with Anderson Cooper. How did I get from Braz to Anderson Cooper? And I am joined by B. Pete. The little coughing noise, he's letting me know subtly that he has joined us, and I'm so grateful that he has, because he can help me out here. The weird seismic shifts now going on in the media. Tucker Carlson is doing what I said in a very odd way. He's coming around, no contract or anything, but now you're going to get Tucker Carlson's World, or whatever the hell they're going to call the, quote, podcast, end quote, will be presented on Twitter, I assume Rumble, probably some of the other platforms that are out there and more friendly to right-wingers right away. It's going to be presented as free speech, independent, and the new alternative. So he's invading the alternative media sphere for sure. Elon Musk also smartly this week, making sure to let us know that as he prepares to install a new CEO at Twitter, because he apparently doesn't want to handle it, he's making himself chairman of the technologies or whatever the hell. It doesn't matter, the shuffling over there at the Twitter sphere. He wants the whole world to know there will be no contract or endorsement, that Tucker is going to simply, guess what, enjoy the same free speech that we have all now been granted under the learned and evolved leadership of the proponent of free speech himself, Elon Musk. So he wants you to know that under that new CEO, and with him stepping back, becoming the, I'm looking for it in my notes. I had it down here somewhere. But anyway, I know that there was a bit of a deal made about this, and you guys might have not seen the press release, or you might have. Again, a lot of things going on that day, including the Trump town hall, which I only touched upon briefly. But still, going back to this, here we go with the camouflage. Tucker Carlson is now alt-media. He is literally in the same basket as Alex Jones, because that's what a whole bunch of you alt-media people, a whole bunch of you indie media people that claim to be outside of the box, resistant to the paradigm, this is what you all were saying. Tucker Carlson is one of us. I'm here to tell you that he might be one of you, but he's not one of me, and it's not because he's right-wing, it's because he's disingenuous. Doesn't mean a damn thing he's saying. Go look back at his track record at MSNBC. Go look back at the conflicting, you know, see what he says in his private texts, which, by the way, were intentionally leaked so that he could show that he was the wild horse waiting to bust loose from the corral of the corporate media. Even though Fox was supposed to be an answer to the mainstream media, they always said that, by the way. Even though they were supposed to be, he is more alternative than their alternative. So now, welcome to controlled opposition, stage two. Like I said, they couldn't float Bill O'Reilly. He's over there wrestling with Meathead Cuomo on News Nation, which, by the way, I love the scuttle that's going on now. Cuomo doing his level best to avoid having Don Lemon come over and join him at News Nation. Right-wing Christian, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's their orientation over there. Strange that they got Cuomo. But they actually are playing around with the idea of bringing on Lemon, because he's such a clean-cut, interesting guy. And after all, he got dissed by the liberal media over there via CNN. Which part of the sentence that I just said strikes your ear the wrong way? Because some part of it has to. Anyway. I happen to know a little bit about this. I want to talk about the moves in the media. I want to get to all of it. Also, a press, a little statement, a little thing came out, by the way, a little declaration from the White House regarding the JFK files, you know, those things that were attached to Carlson recently, when he did do the nice job of allowing on some true alternative voices to talk about the lawsuit against the Biden administration. Biden very quietly makes a statement about this. Very loudly, his Homeland Security, no, not Homeland Security, should be Homeland Security, but his borders are Mayorkas, right? This is the guy, I know I'm not using the right titles, why should I? Nobody else does. Mayorkas is out there doing a presser trying to explain what's going on with Title 42, and by the way, I've watched in 24 hours the mainstream media inexplicably went from there is no major crush at the border to now there is a major crush at the border, and they've actually randomly switched back and forth. I've seen that narrative pop back and forth everywhere except at Fox. They changed it. It's less, it's more, it's less, it's more, it's nothing. last report before I went to air in between Chris's show and mine, there appears to be a little bit of an increase in pressure, but overall it appears as though the Title 42, you know, change there, which the emergency policy that came in. I mean, if you don't know this already, I don't know what to tell you, but in brief, the emergency thing that was put in place because of COVID, right, Trump administration time, which allegedly was making it so that, you know, we had less border crossing going on. Well, that comes to an end now. And they've gone back and forth with this and all, you know, with the judges, and is it constitutional or not constitutional? Excuse me. No, not constitutional. Before Jimmy James reaches through the phone and gets me. Not constitutional, but according to the way things were supposed to go here, it was against the law. It was in violation of other laws, right? Maybe, maybe not. Not even here to wrestle with that at all. But anyway, Title 42 is ending, and this will change the flow of the illegals coming over, the undocumented coming over, right? Well, I dare you trace the trajectory of any of the mainstream reports, written or verbal, in the past 24 to 36 hours, and you will find that if you tuned in randomly, you might have a completely different circumstance at any given moment. Maybe that's the actual truth, but the only consistent one, and I do mean MSNBC, has even gone around and said, well, there might be a minor increase. And yeah, that's the way they went. Fox has stayed steady at, you know, this is going to be an unmitigated disaster. It's going to be worse or just as bad as Afghanistan's withdrawal, which was another disaster made by Biden. Then, of course, we have the, you know, the entire financial crisis is Biden. But in the midst of all that, they're the only ones that are actually consistent. You got the shuffle going on there. You have CIA asset Anderson Cooper seeming to begin to lean into wanting to look at things from a right-wing perspective, being more sympathetic to their talking points. We have more discussions, but not full-on investigations in the media of the Hunter Biden laptop. All of this going on, and what else? There's going to be an increase in hostilities in Ukraine. That becomes an issue, and by the by, becomes another issue that was a huge red flag for the people that endured the Trump town hall, which, by the way, I have yet to go through the whole thing. But I'm going to have to, because apparently this is the latest template. This is the latest fodder. This is the content that they're going to have to utilize very, very soon to set up the rest of season 2 of the Coronavirus Apprentice, American style. Dun, dun, dun. And, of course, there was the trial with Trump and what happened, civil deal. Did he rape a woman? Didn't he rape a woman? Well, it wasn't a criminal trial, so I guess that wasn't there. But did he lie about raping a woman, or did he smear her intentionally? Sort that one out, if you want. I don't want to, but if you want to, go ahead. Because to me, it's just a whole lot of many, many rings to many, many circuses. And who's going to pay the light bill for this? You and me. So anyway, you have the shifts there. You have the shifts at, let's see, MSNBC has been pretty consistent too. But everybody else appears to be scrambling for a new place to be. And even Russell Brand now appears to be sympathetic to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is now your new media hero. Okay? He can't possibly go and mess around with Meathead over there. Like I said, Don Lemon's trying to get in on the Meathead action over at News Nation. But who the hell wants to see that anymore? Weren't we bored with that over on CNN? With, you know, Cuomo disingenuously calling him D. Lemon, my brother, my good friend. Apparently a little pissed that when he got fired over at CNN, D. Lemon didn't call him up and offer him sympathies and offer to come over with his husband and their dogs. Anyways, it is what it is. But I'm telling you, if you think the paradigms were set, if you think this is the liberal media, this is the alternative media, if you think this is the truly conservative media, and you're going by any pre-existing template that, I don't know, was in place previous to 6 hours ago, it is highly likely that you are incorrect. And that's part of what I want to talk about tonight, but enough out of me. Be Pete. You can see I could run my mouth for a long time, and I do see we have a couple of callers. Not going to push the callers on you right away because I want to give you a chance to speak, see how you're doing. And my brother, I got to tell you, just in a, here's a private comment that's really inside baseball. We're not going to discuss it on air, but I'll just communicate something to you in code. You know what's funny is that you go to fix a situation and the situation kind of keeps on giving. And you're almost grateful when you go to try and do something and you don't get a lot done that day because at the very least, you're no longer getting screwed over. It's like, I have a victory because I didn't actually get directly screwed over by somebody in a circumstance, right? So because there wasn't real serious force involved here, and because I wasn't taken advantage of, even if I didn't make progress in the overall issue at the moment, progress is still potentially there, and I didn't get screwed directly at all today. And that's my big victory for today on the circumstance that you and I know about that we talked about Wednesday night, you and me privately. So I just want to let you know that. And also, now that I've definitely given you enough time to set up, get your coffee, straighten everything out, how are you, my brother, if I haven't put you to sleep?
I'm doing good. Apparently, I've got some major phone issues I need to look into. This thing, I don't know, it's cutting off. I've got 72% charge, and as soon as I kick in Skype, ding, cuts off. Cuts the whole phone off. Yeah. I mean, slam off.
Well, so not to bore.
Got that corrected.
Yeah, not to bore the crap out of the listener. But here's why that's happening to you. Just so you know, I'll be as helpful to you, like you were being helpful to me with understanding the way certain things work. Let me be helpful to you. You completely were. You know, I was at a loss to try and explain anything to you, and you had to give me some patience. And I was able to communicate to you, and then once I did, you understood a circumstance, like, because you actually have knowledge that I don't. I'm not trying to belittle you at all, but here's the bottom line with this. Without going into all the geekdom and the nerdness that should not be part of this discussion, because you and me as consumers of a technology should never have to worry about this crap, especially when we pay money to these places. Now, you might use Skype for free, but I pay Skype to use it. Not because I'm stupid, but because there are certain things that I want to do, and they're paid services. I don't object. I don't argue. Okay? They offer something. My choice as a consumer, I can take it or leave it. I can buy it or not. But here's the thing about Skype. It is, since it's part of the greater Microsoft Borg, one thing that they never upgraded, never changed, no matter how they monkeyed with the interface and everything else, is this thing invades your computer and uses resources in your computer, uses parts of your computer. Like, imagine that, and I'm doing this now for the listener, not for you, because B. Pete, I know you understand this part, but you know, you got to imagine that there's some graphic component to using Skype, right? So there's a graphic component to using Skype. There's an audio component to using Skype. There's a telephone component to using Skype. Now, I'm oversimplifying here, but here's the thing. You would figure that since the main purpose of the Skype is to communicate through a phone or a video phone, one or the other of these things, that is mainly where its software and its issues and its interaction for you would be focused, right? Well, the problem with Skype is you don't open it up and, okay, I'm using this much of my computer, I'm using this much of, and now I can move on and do other things while I have it open. Because this is the problem with when you do a radio show or whatever. You have your Skype open, but that's not the only thing that you're going to be doing. So you connect to your, you know, I'm connected to the live broadcast stuff. You don't have to do that. But I need live broadcast software going, right? And I need a couple other things going. Now, maybe you're in the chat room. You have the chat going. whatever. Now, you would think anybody who is, you know, like, say, when you listen to the radio show, you should be able to listen to the radio show and chat at the same time. These are two different things. No problem. You would think, though, that if it takes half of my computer's energy to do this, then I say to myself, okay, I still have the other half of my computer to work with, right? I mean, it's just a simple thing. This is what it takes up. Well, the problem with Skype is you turn it on now, and it might tell you, look, I'm going to use 60% of your computer. And you go, okay, and you try to do something else. And maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. You know why? Because 2 minutes later, it's not using 60% of your computer. 2 minutes later, it's using 90% of your computer. And you haven't done anything to change it. It's not like, well, I do more stuff, so... No. And maybe, given another 2-3 minutes, maybe it's using 20% of your computer. Right? So when it does this, though, it sounds like an annoying nerd complaint. Again, and I'm sorry I'm putting people out on this, but I'll shut up in a second. Here's the problem, though. Let's just say you're going along with these guidelines and you're trying to work with it. Well, now it's using 80-90% of your computer. It stops allowing other things to work. So now your browser slows down. You can't connect to the chat room, or you get knocked out of it, or your internet goes down. Because it's now eating up the resources that should go to your internet, your browser, whatever. Right? This is what is happening to you, BP. And if you have any other, I mean, and I'm not even talking about if you had any problem with your internet company, or there's electrical interference because of, you know, EMF fields are getting screwed up because there's, I don't know, a thunderstorm around you. No. Those are other problems. This happens. And I defy you or anybody else to give me an explanation as to, I mean, you could tell me, okay, thunderstorm, that happened. Okay, I get it. X plus Y equals, okay. But other times, there is zero explanation. You can't do anything to prevent it. It just is. It just varies on you. It just switches around and does it. And there's no explanation, like I said, no explanation. There's no, okay, show me how it does more work. Show me how it's doing something else. Hell no. It's random. So overall, what I'm telling you is that randomly, Skype will decide to just use different amounts or your different resources in your computer in different ways. I brought up the graphics thing at the beginning, right? Well, there's a little graphic element, obviously, because it's got to show you, you know, like right now, you're looking at a picture, you should be looking at a weird grayish picture of me on your screen, right? While I'm talking, BP?
Let's see. Yeah, there's a picture of you, a picture of phone, and a picture of me.
Okay, so you have all three pictures there. So the computer has to make those three pictures. The computer has to react when we speak, because now you'll notice that while I'm speaking, there is some kind of highlight around my picture or the box that my picture's in, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you have the buttons that you have to use. They're being produced, and one of them's red, one of them's blue, most likely. Another one could be green, depending on what screen you're on. Okay. So it has to generate graphics, and it has to generate buttons, and it has to generate, you know, these pictures. And it has to react to them a little bit. So you figure, well, that takes a little bit of computing power. But you would think, okay, it's set at 10%, it stays at 10%. No, it doesn't. And it's not because you changed anything. It's just, it is mind-numbingly annoying that it just does this, and you have no way of controlling it. You have no way of controlling it, mitigating it, nothing. Your computer will randomly get used up by your Skype. And the funny thing is, okay, Chuck, just stop using Skype. Well, I could, but one, it's actually one of the things that works the best, even despite this problem. Two, most people know how to get to it, know how to use it. Okay, you're not working with 30 different things to communicate with. And three, like I said, I actually have a pro account with it and all that. So that means I can make certain kinds of phone calls and things that other people can't and all that. I've actually got a little specialized stuff I can do. So I have to stick with the Skype. It's just that simple. I mean, I can use Zoom. I can use the regular phone, whatever you want. But I kind of have to use it. So one way or another, I'm stuck with this thing. And most people, just because they don't feel like learning how to use something else, are also stuck with it. Just like there's plenty of people that just turn around, and even though they're professors of this and that and the third thing, if it ain't technology, they might say to me, look, man, I don't want to screw around with any of this crap. Can't you just call me on the phone? And I do. So, anyway, point is that you could be stuck with just that problem, or you could have an additional problem. Anyhow, again, I'm going to shut up and let you run with it, because I'm sure there's other things on your mind, but I wanted to vent just a little bit, pop out a few things about this alt media deal, and see what else is on your mind this week and the callers. So, again, even though I've kept, I've kept two of you on hold for a minute. One of them, I do believe, is the great Jimmy James, if I can roll the screen down. And the other one, yeah, the other one's probably going to call in later, because he was not supposed to call till 9:30. What time is it? It's not 9:30. No, it's only, as I speak, it's only, what, 8:43, right?
At my watch, that's what I got.
All right, and I know you've been looking at your watch a while, probably sitting there going, is he going to shut up? I'm sorry, the time is now.
I do that every week.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
That's just common, you know, that's just common practice on Friday nights.
No, that's biggie. Hey, look, that's just Ocelli rule number what, 6?
Yeah, but I think it gets repeated again about 23 or 24 somewhere in there.
All right, fair enough. I will trust it, because I don't have a Braille edition yet. So since I don't have that, I ain't seen this shit. Okay, your turn, brother. What is on your mind?
Well, I'm being frustrated by YouTube, because I'm looking for a particular song for the music video of the week, and I can't seem to find a thing, and I don't know why. But anyway, listening to your discussion on current media situation, I found it awfully exciting that CNN finally starts pulling their viewership out of the toilet, and they want to complain about it because it was Tucker Carlson. Oh my God, or President Trump. It's terrible. So it's kind of funny. You know, you had a lot of media stuff going on in the past week. CNN's town hall, I don't know if you got to watch. I think I heard you say you need to watch the whole thing. I sat through it, and it's just amazing how much CNN put into trying to have on the one person that probably brought them more business for 4 years than anybody else. So they bring this guy on, and then they want to complain about the fact that they led the ratings. It's hilarious. I mean, it's just perfect. It's a perfect cap to the situation that is CNN, who at one time led the industry, and now they're fighting for survival. They bring on the biggest prospect for viewership, and then all of a sudden the whole company is complaining about the choice that they made, even though they finally started taking over a time slot again.
Yeah,
you can't make this stuff up.
Simple yes or no question on this, BP. Again, I'll step right out of your way. Simple yes or no question, because I'm so sick and tired of people telling me that I'm a liar or that I'm wrong or I'm making stuff up. Just before Trump's run got serious for president, okay, in 2015, just before then, when it was acknowledged everywhere, universally, okay, that his run was not only serious but likely, and that he was likely to be, you know, in there. The moment that that happened, CNN went from being in the toilet, pretty much losing to everybody in the ratings. They were down, and they were like almost people starting to go, are they paying two people too much? Is this going to be? And they are making cuts, by the way. That's another thing that's happening right now. Outside of the BS they're telling you about why they're getting rid of some staff over there and why they let Don Lemon go, another consideration is the money. But anyway, CNN was like on its last legs almost, dinosaur media style. They, to me, were the canary in the coal mine that was already stiff as a board, because they were done until they injected Trump into their 24-hour cycle. And they literally, I was tracking it at the time, went to covering him something like 22 hours out of their 24-hour day. Okay? I might have a minor problem there because there was some pre-recorded stuff, but generally speaking, the ratio is about right. 22 out of 24 potential hours of programming. That was it. It was Trump all day. all night. And once they did that, they came back to life. They were contenders, competitors, and even got to the top every now and then, despite the fact that Fox outshined them much of the next couple of years. But even so, they were top contenders, or they were winning in the ratings, depending on how you look at it, many times over the next few years after that. But previous to that, they were doing nothing but being on a downhill slope. Tell me that I'm wrong, incorrect, or lying about this.
Oh, no, you're dead on the money. That's what surprised me. When I heard that this was going to happen, town hall with President Trump, I thought CNN, it's, you know, in that business, when things are as bad as they had gotten at CNN, who at one time, you know, they were leading the ratings, all demographics, mm-hmm. and the very important demographic of the biggest money hauler, you know, males between a certain age.
Yeah, 25 to 40
they were
or
killing
something,
it.
Right? I mean, that's the best money.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and they were killing it. And now, you know, so they go through this bit with Lemon. They go through this bit with other stuff. You know, things, viewership is way down. So they announced this, and I thought, okay, let's see what happens. And, you know, knowing full well that Trump was going to come on there and be Trump, the person that they had, oh, what's her name? I can't think of her name right off the top of my head, the host. They set her up there, and I think her opinion was that she was going to get up there, and she was going to put Trump in his place, and she was going to just fact-check him live the whole time, no matter what he said, which she attempted to do and failed at miserably. Mm-hmm. But she thought she, you know, this was it. This is her big push into the limelight. And Trump got up there and just... he just handled them. I mean, no matter what was going on, Trump, whether you like Trump or not, Trump knows how to play the media. Mm-hmm. And Trump knows how to get over on the media. He did it for, what, over 4 years. The whole time he was running and then the 4 years he was in office. He comes on there and he is typical, classic Trump. And whether you like him or not, when Trump is comfortable in a situation, he's going to excel. And he played that crowd. He knew the setup, and he came in, and he totally dominated CNN.
Yep.
And since then, they have been, 99% of the hosts have all been kicking themselves in the butt for even going along with this thing, because right. They got played. They got played on live TV.
Well, and recognize
and now it's
this.
Tearing them up.
Caitlin Collins was the name you were looking for. And
yeah,
they have been positioning her now to step forward and fill the slot, like I said, mainly a cost-cutting measure where they've gotten rid of some other higher expensive employees lately. They've gone to a change in their aesthetics where they now have the host standing up. They even mimicked, you won't believe me when I tell you this, but you know the Fox and Friends, you know, kind of aesthetic with the round couch and all that? They were mimicking that the next day, okay? Dead serious. They have pretty much tried to rip off, I mean, almost as much as, you know, Led Zeppelin rips off other bands. It was like CNN's Lifted Riffs over here trying to steal from Fox, except one thing. They had Caitlin Collins standing up. Trump and Caitlin Collins both standing up, by the way, during this interview. That's their new thing, stand up, so that you're not sitting at a desk.
Yeah, he's 6'2", and she's what, 4 foot nothing?
Something like that. It's so funny. Even in the heels, she wasn't coming nowhere near his height, right? But either way, this is Caitlin Collins. They are trying their best to position her as a lead anchor now, because she's going to be a lot cheaper to pay off than these other more established ones. She's been with CNN a while, but you're dead on. They tried to position her, and she was supposed to go out there and have her cutthroat gotcha moments, right? She was supposed to Megyn Kelly this crap, man. She didn't do it. See? And
she failed miserably.
She failed miserably doing that, and yet, all night, what did CNN and CIA-trained asset Anderson Cooper and all the rest of them have to say? Oh, Caitlin did the unenviable job of fact-checking a lie machine. They literally called him a lie machine several times. Somebody must have wrote that one.
I mean, that's the amazing thing, is right after this, you know, they cut it short. The whole thing was supposed to run like 90 minutes. 70 minutes in, they cut the town hall. They fill the last 20 minutes with roundtable of people bitching and complaining about what they just saw.
Oh, well,
and it's amazing. You know, they tried to handle Trump by putting this person out there, and she wanted to be people like Trump who love to talk. Mm-hmm. You need to listen to what they say. And she didn't do that. What she had was a prepared script, a prepared mm-hmm. list of questions.
That's right.
And she was going to get the answers in, but she was going to let Trump answer and at some point try to knock down what he said in that instant.
Yeah, I know what you're gotcha.
Some of the
yeah.
things that some of the things she wanted to argue over were subjective, not a matter of fact. And there were a lot of things
right.
when it comes to fact that Trump was right. And she was wrong.
Well, I have not personally fact-checked it, but I do know that look, I do know that a bunch of times she did that, though, because they kept replaying highlights. And here's the thing. They didn't do just one stage of that 20-minute roundtable. Must have been planned, the 20-minute roundtable, or at least it was part of a plan, because they had three stages of roundtable arranged. And in the second stage, did you catch the second stage of the roundtable?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because this I caught in its entirety, and I'm going to actually pull clips from this and play it next week because I've got a show planned to explain to you the evolution or de-evolution of the mainstream and alt media next week. Okay, I've got a plan. And one of the things I'm going to have to show you is stage two of the roundtables from that night. You know why? They had, I don't have his name in front of me, but let's just identify him as... We have chosen you because you are a black supporter of Trump. Which, by the way, your phone's vibrating. Is everything okay?
Yeah, somehow it's there's another call coming in on another app.
No worries.
I think it's being delayed. But, yeah, we're good.
Okay,
we're good.
No, I just want to make sure we're not going to get disconnected. Thing is that there was stage two, and stage two was black Trump supporter is now going to come on. And he was very aggressive. You people have decided that you're going to do this because you're against Donald Trump. Now, I'm going to try and tell the truth. And he starts speaking. Somebody cut him off. And he went into the, excuse me, you going to let me finish? Because you know what? I need to get my thought out. You asked me to come on here and speak? Let me speak. I was like, okay. We're not going to play the polite Brady Bunch breakdown here at the roundtable. And by the way, they switched from the Brady Bunch. You know what I'm talking about, the Brady Bunch thing where everybody's in a split screen, whether they're in the same building yeah. or not. So they switched from the Brady Bunch now to the round table, the literal like crossfire looking round table where everybody's, you know, in the Last Supper position where they're all facing the camera. Okay. And they're doing that and they brought on, here's black Trump supporter, and they expected one thing and did not get exactly what they expected there, because he basically quickly told off like three other panelists for, you're cutting me off, you're absolutely doing, and then he started cutting people off too, and it was hilarious because it was
I saw that part. No, and this is the guy who was in, didn't he, was either a current member of Congress. The
yes.
guy with the beard.
Yes, past
black guy with the beard. Yes,
past member of Congress.
He was a member of Congress. Yeah, and so he was in a lot of discussions that they were having when some of this stuff was going on,
right.
And he was trying to tell them under, you know, hey, we got a sworn testimony, blah 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 blah, and nobody on that panel wanted to hear it.
Well, there was one.
As was yeah. the funniest thing. They did. You could tell they were so ticked off. This guy was had firsthand knowledge. He was there in the room. And they did not want to hear it.
Yeah, but then they sucked him into
something. It's amazing.
No, the first thing, you're absolutely right. Your characterization is exactly perfect, where he's going, well, excuse me, but I was there for this and this. And he did tell him right there. Then they tried to pivot and spin to something else that he wasn't present at. And he sort of copped the attitude of, well, I was there for other stuff, so I know that this is wrong, too. And he was incorrect about that. It was hilarious. There was no consistency here. And I found it really funny that I know somebody who produced that segment had brought this guy in with a particular plan in mind, and they did not get what he thought he scripted, okay? I mean, it's just that simple. Anyway,
yeah.
Continue on, though, because I'd love to know the rest of what you got to think about this, but it is absolutely essential. I'm going to have to break not only – his, I guess it's 70 minutes. I thought it was, I don't know, I thought it was only supposed to be an hour, but it was a planned 90 minutes from your understanding?
Yeah, they had a lot of 90 minutes for it. Mm. Oh, that's, I mean, that was the time slot that they were advertising. It was an hour and a half, but at 70 minutes is when they finally started to, you know, they called the live feed, and then the rest of it was, you know, talking heads trying to, you know, explain to the American people what they just witnessed. Mm. It's almost like they were running around behind the scenes trying to gather up people to throw together because their show was a disaster. I mean, Trump went on stage, and Trump was his typical Trump, like Trump him Trump. Or not.
Trump was Trump.
He knew what he was doing when he walked out there, and he played him like a fiddle from the very first minute. I think this host that they had thought she was going to be confrontational, and what she turned it into was just a nasty spat. And Trump, I mean, Trump had been doing it. He's been doing this for years. You know, the media wants to come at him. He's got his list of facts. He whips out his little letter of proof. And I think what really ticked them all off more than anything, and Joy Behar made a comment to this. You know, she said, well, I didn't know the audience was going to be full of his cult members. Well, when you put a bunch of Trump supporters in a room and you put Trump on stage, Trump's going to run that show. I don't care how experienced you are. They could have put their best anchor out there to ask him questions, and Trump would play them.
Yep.
And he did it masterfully.
Right, and that's why they gave the job of let's pivot on the San Francisco story to Anderson Cooper, because no matter who it was a guaranteed failure, which is funny because I think somebody thought it was a good move to push Caitlin Collins forward to make her the new primary star anchor that they don't have to pay as much money to. I think, quite honestly, somebody seriously thought that was going to work out, that she was going to do some I gotchas, and that Trump was going to have trouble answering, you know, facts. And, you know, whether he was correct or not, irrelevant. Because the way he played it, there was, A, no reason to think for a second that audience was going to turn on him, number one. Number two, you got to have all your ducks way in a row if you're going to be battling this guy. Because even if you do snag him on a small point, he's not going to get caught up on it. He knows how to do this part. He knows how to do. Okay. And, like I said, it's even funnier to me that they followed it up the next morning with Fox and Friends, with a BS Fox and Friends ripoff the next day. So I'm going to analyze the whole thing in one collection. And the funniest thing about it, and here's the beauty of it though, it's still win-win for CNN. Why? Because they not only got, high viewership. I'm not sure what the ratings were, but I guarantee you it was high. And secondly, I promise you that every other competing network now had to, guess what? Plaster Caitlin Collins' mug up there, okay, and maybe they covered up CNN logos, but maybe not. Every news media outlet in the country pretty much had to talk about CNN. Free ads for CNN on everything is what just happened right there. And with the content that gets the viewership, Trump. So it was win-win, baby. That's the way I see it. For CNN, if your whole point is to just, what, be a presence, get the viewership, actually retain your sponsorships, all that. You think it matters if they got straight-laced Don Lemon up there or not? You know, because he looks awfully straight-laced. You bring him up there or not? No, not at all. You could stick Caitlin Collins up there, or you could come by and you could borrow my puppy Buster, but you better feed him real well. It doesn't matter who you put up there, because it's going to work the same way. Trump on the stage, answering this stuff, and he ran it, period. So he ran a 70-minute campaign commercial in my mind, because no matter what, this guy is now in your face for the next week off of that 70 minutes. That's the way I see it. But continue. Is there anything else we need to cover on that, or do you have other stuff on your mind?
Oh, well, no. I mean, it's a good thing to discuss. I'd love to see you break down the whole thing. But, you know, one maybe a sports metaphor will help some people. When it comes to news agencies and contracts, people are looking at what they're going to have to pay out.
Yep.
And, you know, is this person worth the money? What happens in this person's personal life that makes it to the news, that damages their reputation? How tradable are they? And it comes down to money. And you're right. You know, CNN has cut some people loose, Brian Stelter, Don Lemon, mm-hmm. you know, and these were people that they relied on for years. And in those two cases, you could actually see over time, if you watch these people from the time that they came on CNN till when they were let go, and you see their progression of how they carry themselves, the persona that they put forward when they're, you know, live. And you can see how possibly ego figured into a lot of it, where these individuals thought they had more pull than they actually had. But when it comes right down to it, they're just another line on a corporate spreadsheet of cost. So it's like mm-hmm. a sports team. You look at what it's going to cost you to keep that person, or you think about, okay, it's only going to cost us this if we go ahead and cut their contract now and get them out the door.
Yep.
Then we've got freed up money to do something else with. So unlike the draft or the ability for teams to trade players, I mean, you don't really see it in the media. Some of these places, if you go to work for them, they automatically put you on a non-compete clause where, you know, a year after you're gone, you can't do anything for a competing network. So you're kind of stuck in limbo, which is what mm-hmm. Tucker's going through now, because it's, you know, Fox did a slick move. They thought, okay, hey, we're not going to fire him. We're just going to cancel his show, but we'll keep him on the payroll. That way we don't have to worry about him going somewhere else and competing. Well, yeah. All Tucker has to do is break the contract. He can go anywhere he wants. He'll have to deal with the legal ramifications of being sued for breaking a contract or something like that. But then he weighs his options. Is it more cost effective for me to start getting money in the door now, and then I can afford this lawsuit, and then hopefully it'll go away? It may only cost me this.
But the beauty,
know, people, when it comes to news, just like sports teams, there's a bottom line. Mm-hmm. How much is this going to cost us? Are we getting our money's worth? Can we spend a little money on this, cut a contract, get somebody else for a lot less, right, and put our money elsewhere? So that's some of the shakeup. You don't see the trades between NBC and CBS and CNN. We'll give you Don Lemon for, you know, 3 future draft picks and $50,000. You don't see that going on.
But in the interim,
it all comes down to the lines, mm-hmm. the small print in the contracts, what you can and can't do if we decide to can your butt.
Right. So, but in the interim, here's the thing about it, though, which is a brilliant move on Elon Musk's part and Tucker Carlson's part, and it's this simple. There is no contractual violation if he goes on Twitter and just does a thing there. I'm sure that his contract was old enough that nobody thought about that. So he could probably, in my mind, I think legally, he doesn't suffer any first of all, he's not going to starve in the meantime. But secondly, he gets to skirt around the whole thing, because I don't think it's a technical violation of contract if you just go and drop a podcast. You know, it's not really called a podcast, but you just broadcast on Twitter. There's no contract violation, not likely, unless somebody specifically laid it out in his papers, and I'm willing to bet they didn't. But you know what? We're going to continue
We're going to
continue with this media money ball discussion and bring on your calls. I got one waiting on Skype. I got one waiting on the phone, two waiting on the phone, and you could join us as well. 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. B. Pete and I will be back, and you'll hear a lot more from B. Pete and you, the callers, when we return. 319-527-5016, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. Billy Bean, where are you when we need you?
Bring me 15 hookers now and get the drugs ready and take me to the private island.
Nowadays, if they'd landed in troop ships wearing pink uniforms, they're like, tranny, tranny, tranny.
Literally, everyone would just kneel and go, oh.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State,
understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? Think of nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of... You know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? I've been briefed. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? Think of nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of... You know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust. Nuclear Holocaust.
Ochili.com. Chili.com.
Politicians, this is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Friars Day night, and we are taking calls, and we're going to get straight to them now that my co-host is with me. And we have definitely let me run around in circles long enough that I could get some of the energy out of my system regarding the hijacking of the alt media. So I'm going to go to a phase of the show where I'm not going to talk so much because I want to turn it over to my co-host, B. Pete. 319-527-5016, because I not only want to turn it over to him, but to you as well. 319-527-5016, if you're hearing us live, about 12 minutes after 9 p.m. Eastern on the 12th day of May, 2023. Anyway, so B. Pete, we're ready to roll with the callers, right?
Yeah, let them fly.
All right. First up is the mighty Jimmy James. How you doing, sir? Uh-oh. Did I put Jimmy James to sleep? Nope. There he is. Jimmy, how you doing?
Holy
man?
Crap. I just read Tom Brady is going back to New England.
For what? A steak dinner?
No, quarterback.
B. Pete, that's your wheelhouse, man. What do you know about this?
That's news to me, but it's been kind of suggested in the past that it could happen. You know, he retired, came out of retirement, went with Tampa Bay, got his butt waxed, and re-retired. So now he's unretired. It's a good thing, you know. Brady can focus on football now. His divorce,
I spread fake news. It says he's just going in for a dinner.
Okay, then.
Oh, is that it? Cool.
See, the Ocelli instinct was correct.
What, though, it would make a huge story if he did come back because, you know, I don't know what it costs. I don't know what it does when you retire with an active contract and then you decide to come back in. I guess that's one way to get out of the contract is just go ahead and say, all right, I'm going to retire. You know, because we've got Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing for the Jets now, which was a big surprise to no one considering that that's what Aaron Rodgers said he wanted to do was play for the Jets. So he's there. Brady could come back at any time. Don't be surprised if it's actual news that he does come back because he doesn't have his ball and chain nagging him about playing football now.
Well, and in any service...
Well, it does say that they do expect Kraft, the owner, he is begging him. That doesn't mean Brady's going to do it. But who knows? He's capable of anything, as we've seen.
Well, here's the thing about it. When it comes to a service contract, though, of this type, right? Now, I've never been signed onto a sports contract, but I do know with an entertainment contract, even when you retire, it doesn't dissolve the contract, right? You retire, they can say, well, okay, we can't force you to play football, but if you are an active player, you're now contractually obligated back to us. Now, what that usually means is that, I mean, look, Tampa Bay can voluntarily say, all right, we release you. They could actually grant him a release. And that's usually, I think, the way it's got to go when it comes to any sort of terms of service contract like this, where somebody basically, you know, sort of owns you. Like I said, with entertainment, they do the same thing. They own your, you know, they own your likeness and they control what it is you're able to do professionally, right? It's very much like with a record company contract where you can't just go ahead and book your own shows, right? Now you have to go through them. Everything goes through them. Unless they release you from that contract. But again, everybody's terms can be written differently. So it's potentially something where Tampa Bay would have to sign off on it. Like, yeah, we let you go. But otherwise, I think they can hold him too. If you're going to play in the NFL at all, you still owe us, you know, a certain amount of time. In some cases,
You see that a lot through cross contracts when individuals are playing different sports, like when Deion Sanders is playing football and baseball.
Right.
You'll get into that argument that, okay, you know, we hold you contract here for the football side, so you go play baseball as long as you want. Keeping in mind that if you get injured, we do have this injury clause in here where you pay us. And when you want to come back and play football, you're going to play it for us, or we're going to, you know, we hold your contract. So if you want to come back to football, you're going to have to come back as a Falcon or whoever you're with at the time.
Right. I think Bo Jackson had the same thing, right? With the,
Jackson, Michael, in fact, Michael Jordan had it, when he played baseball, his short stint, he had contractual obligations in many things, his business side of Michael Jordan and his sports playing side of Michael Jordan. So right. His little foray into baseball there, there was a lot of legal things that had to be done for him to be able to do that. There's been a lot of issues, you know, these people that play double sports, mm-hmm. you know, you almost want to be their attorney just because of the fees that are going to generate from the paperwork that's going to generate from them deciding to do something like that. So it can be very lucrative for whoever happens to hold the, you know, the signature as the lawyer handling everything. It can be a very lucrative legal sports mm-hmm. as a business is big business.
Well, but see, that's why I compared it, though, to the entertainment types of contracts, because it is, at its core, it's an entertainment contract. I realize that it involves a lot of other things, but at the end of the day, you're a commodity as a piece of entertainment. You are, you know, and that's why your likeness is part of the deal. You know, just like the whole thing with the thing over video games, right? You go ahead and get yourself your sports game. Well, you know, if Michael Jordan is at the time playing basketball, you got to make sure that Michael Jordan is one of the players you can use on the video game. And there are considerations there, right? I mean, that's like this whole thing that went on with the NCAA recently, where it's like, you know, for the longest time, they could just use them any which way they wanted, and the players didn't get paid. You know, it was kind of a weird thing.
That's the thing about Brady. Brady was pulling in enough money that when he retired and he decided to go with Tampa Bay, a lot of his success in New England came because of the team that they had assembled around him. Mm-hmm. They had an excellent line, both defense and offense. They had star players like Gronkowski who had hands of glue, things that really made Brady look better than Brady actually was. Don't get me wrong. I know there's a lot of Tom Brady fans out there. He's probably, I'd have to say up till now, he's probably the best. And he played it, and he made his money. He knew it could go anywhere he wanted to. 40 days after his retirement, he's picked up by Tampa Bay. But who also did Tampa Bay pick up? Gronkowski as his receiver.
Right.
And I think that was part of the deal. He says, you know, Brady could say, yeah, I'll play for you, but you get him too. And if you can hire him, then, yeah, it's a done deal.
Well, I think
these things go on all the time.
Yeah,
so
I could have swore he also broke off.
He can choose what he wants to do.
Didn't he also break off a piece of his contract so they could afford Gronkowski? Wasn't that part of the deal, too? Or am I imagining things?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
no, that was part of the negotiation. So, you know, he was able to pull some strings and get a guy back that's going to help him look good in Tampa Bay. And he did well in Tampa Bay. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. He went to another team. He's having to learn a whole new operation. Brady could handle it. Brady did well. Brady did not have the team around him that he had in New England. Mm-hmm. So, no, he's not going to have the stellar season that he had. But don't be surprised to see Tom Brady come back. He's got a lot left in him. I mean, granted, he's at an age that most quarterbacks have been banged up and can't play. But Brady was lucky. Brady had a good team around him protecting him. He didn't go through the physical, you know, problems that Rodgers and the rest of them have gone through. And you look at quarterbacks down the line, all the great quarterbacks at one time in their life were injured.
Fair enough.
And Brady's really not had that issue to deal with.
Right. Fair enough. Look, I want to move along because I know we have at least one other caller and possibly two other callers, and we also have a caller on Skype. So I want to try and move around so we don't keep everybody waiting too much longer.
Yeah, I did want to ask. Yeah, I wanted to ask Jimmy James a question on how he thought his guy performed in the town hall and if he got to see it.
Ah, well, okay.
Jimmy, you there?
I didn't want to. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. I did not watch it. He's not even really my guy, as you call him, BP. I may vote for him yet again.
Fair enough. So you didn't see it? There you go. Yeah, let's move along to the next caller because we got one calling from Tennessee, and he's been waiting a little while, so let's get to him. And also another one on Skype that's patiently waiting as well. So going to go to our caller in Tennessee. And how you doing tonight, man?
Hey, Chuck, this is Harlan. How you guys doing?
Ah, Harlan, I thought it was you. Excellent. I'm glad to hear from you, sir. Anything you want to throw on the table?
Well, you know, I was kind of late getting in here listening to you guys. I was listening to Angry Tiger show over on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you all was discussing Tucker's going to Twitter again.
Well, that was...
I missed quite a bit of that, but that's kind of what I thought, that he'd be able to, you know, do something. I didn't know he was going to go for a full-blown show, but I didn't know if there's any more development since you guys mentioned that.
Well, he made an announcement on Twitter. Did you catch the announcement where he stated that, you know, look... Okay, so you got all that. And that's been recovered by a bunch of people. I mean, even Russell Brand is replaying it and analyzing it on his thing on Rumble now, where, you know, I think Russell's a little worried because he's pushing Rumble as the new free speech platform, according to him. I mean, it's not news to me. It's been around for a few years now. But, you know, Russell's pushing it and was going over this whole thing with Tucker going to Twitter. Which, yeah, apparently he's gonna. And then even Elon Musk came out and said, hey, look, I just want to make it clear, Tucker Carlson's not going to get any special treatment. There's no contract here, folks, and all that. So that's as far as I know, unless you got something else that you picked up on.
Nah, man, I've been pretty busy this week, and I'm kind of behind on stuff. I even missed Don Jeffrey's show live today. That's the first time I missed one in probably 3 months.
Oh, boy. All right, well... I'm sure at some point it's going to come up in Don's discussions about what's happening. And I'm sure that Don and many of his friends are agreeing that, you know, Tucker is probably a more honest broker of media stuff than we've gotten in a while. And they might even be happy about the idea that he's invading the independent media, the alt media space. But I see it as welcome to another piece of controlled opposition. In my mind, that's what's going to happen here. And, you know, you have only to look at Carlson's track record regarding, you know, where he's been before and what he's done before. And, you know, it's, again, not like he's going to starve one way or another, even if he does his show for free on Twitter now. But I doubt it'll be free very long. I'm sure he'll come up with the Bill O'Reilly type plan very soon, you know. No spin news, except it'll be, I don't know what Tucker would call it. What would Tucker Carlson's... show name be outside of Tucker Carlson?
That's a good question.
The Tucker Carlson Show.
Yeah, real basic. I mean, hey, look, simple works, right? So what do you think about that, Harlan? You think it's a good thing that Tucker Carlson is now going to offer himself as a an alt-media, an independent media person?
Well, I think he can get more of some of the ideas out that a lot of people that listens, you know, to shows like yours, that, you know, he can kind of spread them around. But, you know, I'm hung in between, and, you know, I kind of agree with you. This could just be the, you know, the next big grift and just, you know, steering people off into a mainstream, you know, different dimension of alt media. And at the same time, you know, it's good that somebody's out there saying it. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said a few weeks ago, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Right. Fair enough. So, but is there anything else that you want to throw on the table outside of that, or should we go to our Skype caller, Harlan?
Yeah, go ahead and go to Chris. That's pretty much all I got. It's been a, you know, a long day and, you know, several days, and I just seems not get off in the, as far as my comments on Trump and the town hall, you know, if that ain't, don't speak for itself. I don't know what does, you know, what little I've seen of it.
Well, I'm sure that the town hall is going to come up. Yeah, I'm sure the town hall is going to come up again before we're done with the broadcast tonight. So stick around and maybe you have some valuable insights you can help us out with in a little bit. And with that, yeah, Chris Graves is on the Skype. How you doing, Chris?
Hi, Mr. Rocelli. How are you?
Well, you know, long time no talk, you know.
It's been ages. Sure. A dog's age. Yeah, I don't like Tom Brady. He was kind of a jerk to me personally. And the other thing was about Tucker. I'm so done with Tucker and Donald Trump and COVID-19 and all this other stuff. So how are you guys?
Yeah, so how you want to tell how you're doing there, B. Pete, to Chris?
I'm doing pretty good. I spent a very hectic week. Work right now is going crazy. So, I mean, I'm subject to lose my mind at any moment. So. But other than that, it's been pretty good. It's been a hectic, but it's been a good week.
You got fun plans for the weekend, BP, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, yard work. Absolutely. I'm going to be out there tomorrow. I'll give you a good example. Last weekend, yard work, get all the limbs up. We get a thunderstorm roll through on Thursday. I'm glad I picked up all the limbs in my yard because now I won't have as many to pick up when I get out there tomorrow. They are everywhere. So, yeah, we're going to spend a day outside being productive.
A nice fresh air. I know that sounds very peaceful, actually, and it's a form of meditation that I like to engage in. And I'm just happy to be here.
It's something I missed. You know, it's something I missed when I get rid of my house. I move into an apartment, and yard work was therapy. So,
yeah,
I get to go out and self medicate tomorrow. It'll be fun.
Well, that's good. That's great to hear.
So, what else you got on your mind, Chris? I mean, we just did a cartoon special in lieu of a guest not showing up on your show before this one. Kind of fun.
I've been putting together the show notes for that. It's my little dissection of the world of mature animation and even the world's first X-rated cartoon, Fritz the Cat. And don't worry, folks, we don't get into too explicit details, but we talk about Liquid Television and Beavis and Butthead, you know, like the more adult-oriented cartoons and things like that. And I'm just happy to be here, and that's about it.
There you go. So, B. Pete, what is next on the agenda, my brother? I'm going to keep looking for callers at 319-527-5016. If you're hearing us live, please join in. It's only about 9:30 Eastern. 9:30 p.m. Eastern. So if you're hearing us live right now, you can still do that at 319-527-5016 or reach out to me, Charles Dottocelli, on Skype. And if you do, message me. I can call you into the show if you like. So, B. Pete, what's next on the unwritten agenda?
Oh, dear. Do we have an agenda? I never really thought of Ocelli having an agenda. This is strange. Now we suddenly have one. I don't know how to react.
Not usually. I mean, also, I'm told I have a list of people that are, you know, blackballed, but I never seen it. So, you know.
Well, that's good. I keep, for some reason, it won't accept the file when I keep sending it to you. We need to work on that.
Is that what's happening? Okay. Hey, look, at least I have an explanation.
Must be. I mean, we'll have to ask Jimmy because he's adamant about the existence of a list, so we're going to have to. He knows more about it than us.
By the way, if you want to hear about blacklisting, when Nature Boy gets around to releasing the uncut video of the interview between myself and Charlie Robinson that I did on Wednesday live, you guys, even on the live stream, did not hear all of it. There is an uncut video where blacklisting and I wind up discussing with current... Discussing, very good. Discussing with current TNT radio host Charlie Robinson, my unceremonious dismissal from TNT radio, and blacklisting and things like this. And I was not going to release it, but I am going to release it.
I was curious if you were going to bring that up, to be honest with you, because I knew the backstory, but I didn't know if you were going to bring it up with Charlie.
Yeah, he didn't know, and Nature Boy didn't want me to, I think, but I did anyway. So that's going to get released on Rockfin and possibly Rumble. So, go check out the video channel.
You did bring it up with Eric Jackman, though, because apparently TNT Radio had some of the financing with the... that war rally, anti-war rally.
Yeah. No, I brought it up there, but I'm telling you now, this is a little different. This conversation between myself and Charlie Robbins. I hope he's still speaking to me. How about that? Because I really appreciate Charlie. I love the guy, and I don't hold against him that he's got a Saturday gig over there. And I even put the link. If you check out the website, you'll see a link to the Charlie Robinson show on TNT Radio, which he does on Saturdays. Listen at your own risk. What can I tell you? But you're going to want to catch that Rockfin.
I never got to take a dump on the table.
Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry. You know what? Let's pass the toilet paper to Jimmy James then and go ahead and take your dump.
Oh, thank goodness. I was holding that in. It's tough.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just got a different view on this whole Tucker thing. First off, Tucker's never called himself alt media. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily what he's up to.
No, he hasn't called himself.
I just think that, honestly, the broadcast news has gone the way of the dodo bird, and now cable is going the same way. Streaming's the future, and that's pretty much the way it's going to go.
No, Tucker doesn't have to call himself alt media. I am using an antiquated term when I say it, but I assure you he's invading the space that would be alt or independent media here by doing this way. I assure you. And he's presenting himself.
There's a lot of people in the business right now that have just stuck that label on him since he's no longer at Fox.
Right. And he's,
his last couple broadcasts where he took on pharmaceuticals and the corporate, they started putting this tag on him. And the minute he left Fox, now he's alt media and he is extreme right media.
Well, right.
Those are the tags you're going to see from his competitors from here on out.
Well, but people in the indie media have been embracing him as of late as well. So when he has that going on and then goes on Twitter and says, look, I'm going to tell you how the corporate media works and here is how they deceive you. He literally takes his time to make that announcement and that proclamation. He is declaring himself, without using the term, somebody who is now not in the mainstream, not part of the establishment media. I'm going to reveal other things. This is what he said, so I'm just going with what he said. Meanwhile, we have another caller, BP.
All right. Bring him on in.
Absolutely. I think I'm bringing her on in, though, if I read the number correctly. And this will be right on time for Let's Shake It Up. Because I think I have another TNP contributor. Yes, I do, right? Lisa, how you doing?
I'm feeling great. Thank you so much.
You getting a laugh out of the show tonight?
Relaxing.
You getting a laugh out of the show tonight, at least?
Sorry.
Yeah. I say, you getting a laugh out of the show tonight, Lisa?
No, I loved it.
Okay, good.
Oh, this is great. You know, Chuck, you and I are on the same page. As usual, very, very rarely are we not aligned, and specifically about Tucker. I mean, it is so nauseating. You know, I do scroll through, you know, on the Twitter feed, and all, everybody who gushes over him. I mean, it is so nauseating. I can't take it.
It's strange to see people that, you know, absolutely declared themselves, you know, I am an enemy of the mainstream media. I am definitely against them. I'm again, they tell you all about how they hate the corporate media. They hate the corporate media. But Tucker Carlson says the CIA had something to do with Kennedy's death. Tucker Carlson says maybe we should question the big pharmaceutical companies. And not only has the mainstream turned around and went, look, he's an extremist. But at the same time, the indie media people went, look, he's one of us. I find it really strange.
Oh, my God. But think about this. All he said was the CIA did it. And that was it. Nothing else.
Right.
I mean, just the one statement.
Right. You know, look, Ronald McDonald is the Antichrist. Ronald McDonald is the Antichrist. There you go. Now, I've made a great statement. I can't back it up, but I assure you, Ronald McDonald is the Antichrist. Ocelli said it first. Remember that. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Right? Okay. But because he knew why. It's because he knew everybody wanted him to say that. I mean, oh, my God. Can you feel the earth shaking? I mean, he actually said it. I mean, this is just
Pay no attention. Well,
I'll tell you what, though. No, this is what he's doing now to come onto Twitter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
is complete controlled opposition. If people can't see that, I just don't know what to say, because maybe people, do they not know about his real history of who he is? I mean, what about past conduct? People just, I don't know.
It's okay. You know what I find most interesting about the CIA killed Kennedy comment is that a few weeks before, and I do mean like 6 weeks before, when we were contending with the, by the way, there was another document release on the 11th of this month, which nobody paid attention to, by the way, from the Biden administration, because slowly but surely pressure is being applied and they are releasing some more documents, but nobody's talking about it in the media at all. JFK stuff. Anyway, did you know that there was a briefing held by the CIA just ahead of a deadline for a document release regarding the Kennedy assassination papers? And, you know, there was representatives there, individuals that were there to represent, guess who? The New York Times, okay, the Washington Post, and Tucker Carlson. There was a representative there to get the briefing from the CIA about the documentation. I'm just telling you, that happened. Okay? And if you, seriously, if you were at the press conferences that were held by the Mary Farrell Foundation, you would have heard about that. And also, you know, simultaneously, you had on Larry Schnapp, who I also had on this show, who is the co-counsel in the lawsuit against Biden, the Biden administration currently, regarding the JFK Records Act. Yeah. But the briefing just before those documents started to drop, according to the delayed deadline, Tucker Carlson had a representative there, as did these major media outlets and a bunch of others, because the CIA summoned them. Come here, we're going to tell you what's in the documents before they ever release. Okay? This is why news stories were being written before the documents even hit the ground, that there was nothing in there, because they couldn't have possibly even physically read them, because they were not released to the public yet. And news stories were already out there telling you what was in the documentation. How does that happen timing-wise? Tell you how. A briefing from the CIA told them there's nothing to see here. It's really just that simple. But, you know, what do I know, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
So we agree.
Speaking of that, though.
What's that?
We can all agree that Tucker doesn't matter.
He shouldn't.
I think we can all agree that Tucker doesn't matter, and actually there was some much bigger news this week. For instance, Lisa, what do you think about the Biden family having 20 LLCs, 5 banks, and 9 recipients of CCP cash being wired to them in the tune of $30-some-odd million?
So what else is known? how much more evidence do we really need? This has been going on forever. Nothing's ever going to happen. I don't even waste my time with it anymore. Because, there's not going to be any accountability for it. Of course that's going on. We all know it. We know that this has been a money laundering thing from the beginning. I don't know.
Okay.
So I am not going to get myself upset about it, because it's just like, you know, business as usual. What else?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but Lisa just gave them to you, basically.
You don't care.
Color me. No, it's not that you I don't care. Right? It's not that I don't care. It's just color me shocked. I'm not surprised. And, look, keep digging. I say dig it all out and perp walk everybody if you can, but is it going to happen? Is anybody going to be held accountable? This is ultimately the question, and my answer generally is no. And I don't care if it's Trump for whatever he does, or if it's Biden for whatever he does. No. Once you are in that position of privilege, you do not pay for anything. So, what? This is what it is. I'll be amazed if they do anything about it. That's where I'm at.
Okay, more evidence came out. A British national, apparently a member of MI5 or 6 would be my guess. She's the one that filed the 1023 when she noticed all this odd wiring going on.
And the moment that Biden left VP, all of a sudden the wires, always, there was a different scheme. He had so many schemes going on. I forgot. He only shook down that other country for 1 million.
Yeah, it's hard to keep it all straight. No, it's very hard to keep it all straight. I mean, which one of his family members also benefited? I mean, was it uncle? Who was the uncle, B. Pete, that was also involved? The guy I never heard of before that was...
Joe Biden?
Yeah, which
is... Joe Biden.
There's nine of them at this point.
Yeah, how many...
You know, when babies are receiving wire transfers, something's a little odd.
Yeah, I know it, unless it's, you know, some sort of gift. I mean, I've seen wire transfers go, you know, between rich people. They'll turn around and set up an immediate trust fund once a kid survives for like 3 weeks out of the womb, and they're millionaires.
The CCP probably did send them a trust fund to help them out. You but know, what did Joe Biden do to deserve all this money?
Good question.
What did he do to deserve the Biden drunk tank / think tank at the Penn Center? Now we're at $60 million.
Wait, why is it a drunk tank? Tell me about that. Are they getting drunk over there? They're partying?
Well, Hunter's involved.
Oh, well, okay.
Hunter's involved.
Well,
they call it a think tank, but I think we all know it's a drunk tank.
So it couldn't be a crack tank, because I thought Hunter was into the crack, no?
He likes both.
Get the pipe off.
And interestingly enough, three offices that they had there, which Biden was using during his in-between times, was him, Hunter, and a Chinese guy.
Huh. Well, look at that.
Tophitters.com.
Oh, gee, that is one of the places he left some of his documents. What's he got now? 1,800 boxes missing? And no one wants to talk about that. It's all for show. It's all fake, right, Chuck? The man's putting on a program.
I never said that it was fake. I'm saying to you, I don't know how many boxes he's got. I don't know what he did. I don't know how corrupt he is. I guarantee he's corrupt. I don't know what the level is. It seems pretty extensive. I can't even keep track of all this crap. I mean, you know. What do you want me to say?
They have no problem. What's
that? I'm sorry. What?
Would you say Trump's a better president yet?
No. No. I don't have a race between these two. I mean, you know.
You have no metrics to go by to say that your life was better with Trump than Biden. Honestly. You really can't say that.
Honestly,
inflation, gas prices, etc.
Well, gas prices were jacked up. Gas prices didn't help me during either one of these guys. To be honest with you, my financial
gas was always under $2 under Trump.
No, it wasn't. Not where I live. And I'll tell you this: when it comes to the financial stuff, though, here's where you win. Here's where you win. It wasn't under no $2 here. When you want to get down to it, but financially overall, okay, don't talk to me about the gas price. Overall finance, everything. We've definitely gone further down the freaking drain here ever since that guy took office. Look, you can't deny that. We've been slowly going down that same drain for a long time, and it got quicker. Can I finish? It got quicker.
Wait a minute.
What?
No.
No, what?
When he took office, inflation was 1.9%.
And?
Now, how did it get to 9% other than his policies?
Okay, let me tell you this. Where did I argue it? See, here's the thing. What do you want me to say, Jimmy James? Trump's a hero. He's a great guy. There you go. You happy? He was a piece of garbage.
He's a better president than Biden.
No. No, financially, was I doing better with Trump in there? Financially, we were in less of a crap hole, than we are now when Trump was in there. Yes.
Now the world. Let's look at world peace. How was the world situation? Was it better under Trump or Biden? Honestly,
we're in one less war with Biden in there. So,
what in the hell are you talking about?
He did withdraw.
I've ever heard of in my life.
Really? Did he withdraw from Afghanistan in a disastrous way or not? Yes or no?
Well, we're really not down one war because we got out of Afghanistan, but we're in Ukraine, so we just swap one for the other.
Well, we didn't put boots on the.
Say we're in Ukraine.
We didn't put boots on the ground in Ukraine, did we? Did I miss that?
Yeah, we got boots on the ground in Ukraine.
Oh, we do now? All right. Well, you know what? I guess, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other then on the war front then, if you want to go that way. Not much of a difference when it comes to that. It's not like Trump withdrew us from any conflicts. What did he do? He moved around some troops in Syria. That's about it.
Are you denying that Trump tried to remove all the troops out of Afghanistan, but his general literally told him, No,
I don't deny that.
And Trump could have overridden him being the commander in chief, but he didn't.
I don't deny that at all. All I say is that, on balance, I don't think we ended up any better or worse off war footing wise between the two of them. I don't think it changed, generally speaking.
Oh, did you know that?
Our military is at the lowest levels.
I don't know, ever, in the last 100 years.
I'm sorry.
We can't even recruit people.
The military's at the worst level in the past 100 years?
But we haven't been able to recruit people for quite some time. Even when Trump was in there, the recruitment numbers were going down. They've continuously gone down. But if you want to look at metrics for are we better off, you can take this metric versus that metric and how it affects you personally to make your decision. But between the two of them, other than an increase in inflation, us having people in a place that we don't admit that we had them, I'm seeing Vietnam, all over again.
Okay.
We're no better off. If anything, we're worse under Biden just because of the continual downtrend from 20 years ago. It's all been downhill.
Well, that's the thing. We were still going downhill. I think he accelerated the downhill thing when it comes to finances. I think he's definitely screwed us extra quick on the financial front.
Oh, yeah. He put the gas to the pedal on the economy. I mean, it's tanked, and it's going to take a while to get it back up there. Thank you, Joe Biden.
You'd have to be a moron to deny that.
It's been a continual downward curve for 20 years.
You'd have to be a moron to defend Biden on inflation. Wait a second. You'd have to be a moron to defend Biden on inflation, because there is no way to even say that we're not in worse shape regarding that. That's a guarantee. Now, is it all his fault? There's this thing called Congress too that's involved in a lot of this mess, and I don't think the president actually sets a lot of the policies that have screwed us. But you know what? Joe Biden's been involved in plenty of the policies that have screwed us over the past couple of decades. So, responsibility-wise.
You also look when Trump was in there. His first big act, the first big budget that came up after Trump got in, he got on TV and said, people, I really don't want to do this. These numbers are outrageous. We have to get our spending under control. But I'm going to sign it anyway. Yeah. And he did this repeatedly. So, this economy right now, yes, it's gotten considerably worse since Biden got in.
Absolutely.
Because it's been driven down quicker. But Trump was still overspending like a drunken sailor.
Sorry, what was that?
Biden was put up the last 700 miles. The money's there. The fence is there. He just won't do it because he refuses to do his job as commander-in-chief. So that's how the wall is. Why is it that in 2 years, 7.5 million illegal aliens are in this country, which is the exact population of Indiana, the 15th largest state? So now their votes mean nothing.
Well, since Trump said that he was going to get Mexico to pay for the wall, maybe that's why the rest of the wall hadn't been done, is because we're still waiting on the money.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm not.
The money's there, and the fence is there. All Biden has to do is say, Biden's purposely destroying this country.
Hold on just a second. You go sipping for the chosen one just a minute. I want to say a few things. Number one, look how many trillions was printed in 2020 under Trump. That's where a lot of this inflation comes from. And I'm no Biden fan, but I'm no lawyer neither. Number two, he jumped and he run around, you know, and run like a scared chicken when it come to that law. It was all talk, like a lot of this other stuff. Number three, they wouldn't have been a bad exit from Afghanistan if Trump had done what he said he was going to do. He had 4 years to get them out of there. He had 2 years of absolute control of all three branches of government, and he done next to nothing but a bunch of talk. And then they kept talking until he lost. Straight up and down. He signed all the stuff for the mail-in ballots and all that stuff there. I'm not saying it wasn't any shenanigans, but this guy's a joke. And that's the bottom line. And I don't know when in the hell people's going to wake up. How many more times can he run? How could he win again without it being rigged in his favor? He was on CNN for 2 hours after they said that he was the biggest threat to democracy and all that, and he's over here, you know, doubling down on his anti-gun stuff, over here, you know, seeming like, you know, everybody's grandpa. Give me a break. Why would he even go on CNN?
See, here's the thing, Harlan.
Now that don't show a lot of this stuff is fixed, I don't know what is.
Listen,
I
appreciate it. I love.
I agree with Harlan. And I got to agree with Harlan.
I got that. I'm all with Harlan on this. I'll tell you something.
I forget what he, hold on. I wanted to. There's
what?
Something Harlan started out saying. What did he say? Something
well, I want to lay one thing out that I think was beautiful here real quick. And then maybe it's the thing that he started with Jimmy James, which was that, you know what? The guy had 4 years, 2 years in which he had control over both houses of Congress. Okay. And what got accomplished in those 2 years? That is a huge question.
A lot. A hell of a lot.
Okay.
What did he accomplish?
How can I answer it if you're shouting? I'll tell you how.
Zero
deaths in Afghanistan. He didn't turn over the base to the Taliban like an idiot. Two, inflation was way down. Employment was the highest. $2 all over the country. We didn't.
And he locked down the United States for 2 years.
Invading Taiwan, which they will surely do any day now before the election, while their man's in place, the Manchurian president.
What can I tell you, hey, Harlan? They all are very good. That's where I'm at. And B. Pete.
Well,
B. Pete, what do you think of this?
Trump just had an 8 years of investigation.
Okay. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put everybody on hold real quick because everybody's talking over everybody. Real quick, everybody's on hold. Oh, my. Okay, sorry. I had to laugh there because it descended into everybody over everybody else. B. Pete, am I wrong for putting everybody on hold?
No, it's getting where I couldn't even understand half of what was going on there for a second because everybody was just walking over each other. But,
right,
I mean, some good points have been made. All right, now,
right.
I got to go with Harlan. I agree with Jimmy James on some of the things as he's saying on the way things were carried out. I mean, we have our level of presidential competency has slowly eroded over time.
Right.
And now we're at the point where we're dealing with either the cult of personality when it comes to Trump or complete buffoonery when it comes to Biden. And the problem is, folks, there ain't no better choice out there right now.
Yeah,
so
I don't.
What are you gonna do?
And I don't know if buffoonery is even fair to buffoons because we're talking incompetence.
I really should not put them in the same boat with Biden.
You know, buffoons have a talent for entertaining you. Usually, they're usually decent clowns. I don't think Biden's even a good clown. So, here's the thing: I think that we should give each one of the callers, okay, and also Chris, an opportunity to speak without anybody over them. I'm serious. For 2 minutes, what do you think? 2 minutes apiece?
I agree with you. I had to laugh. It's just the way you said it. You know, all of the callers and then Chris.
Because Chris is not on the phone line. He's on the Skype, so, and he's patiently just sitting there muted, I think, unless he went to sleep.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Chris. You there?
I'm quiet. I'm quiet, Chuck. I'm
you
quiet.
Are quiet. Would you like to lead off, or would you like to?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I will just say this: I don't like either. I think Trump was a dump, and I think Biden is the crypt keeper. That's mm-hmm. all.
Okay. Fair enough. And you're not even you're going to surrender your the rest of the remainder of the balance of your 2 minutes then. Yes.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. Why don't you hang around? Anyway, and B. Pete, I'm going to keep track on the clock, okay? And you will tell me which caller. Well, hey, look, it's the clock. It's not me. So you tell me which.
Hold on. Let me get a roster going here because I don't want to miss anybody in this order. So
we got
last to join us? Lisa?
I believe Lisa was the last one in, okay? And the.
All right, we got Lisa. We got Chris.
Well, Chris
we got
is already.
Harlan.
Yes.
No,
Harlan.
I'm all set now.
Chris is all set
and
already.
And we got, okay. All right. And then we got Jimmy James.
Jimmy James. So in order, man, they came on. In order, they came on this way. Jimmy James, then Harlan, then Lisa. So, I don't care. Gotcha. You can go with that order. You can go any which way you want. I will plunk down that caller, okay? And they will have, either you and I will not interrupt them, okay? Is this a deal?
That's a deal. How much time are you going to allot each one?
2 minutes each.
All right. All right. We're going to start in the order that everybody joined us. So first up is going to be Jimmy James. And if we figure in the 10-second delay, go.
Okay. No problem. That's what I'm going to do. I'm looking at the clock right now. I'm actually going to wait until it comes back around and my second hand hits the top so I know exactly where I'm going from. Okay? And
all right. I got you.
I will keep track of the time. I will, when their time is expired, what I will do is they will go back on hold. That's that. And then we'll see if we get back around to a final 2 minutes. Okay. To a final, you know, a closing remark, a last shout out, if you will. Okay. If we get there. But gotcha. If not, each one is going to be allowed 2 full minutes. So Jimmy James, you're going to be up first. Next will be Harlan, then Lisa, right? DP?
Yep.
Okay. And we are not going to interrupt
you. That's the order I got.
We are not going to interrupt you at all. You're going to be able to speak your piece 2 minutes solid, starting now, Jimmy James.
Joe Biden is destroying this country. He has an open border policy, which is absolutely against the law and the Constitution. And he's doing this to flood. He knows that we're a welfare nation at this point, and this is going to further destroy the economy, what's left of it. My understanding is that starting today, millions, well, hundreds or thousands more are waiting to get into the country. Joe Biden is a agent of the Chinese Communist Party. It seems pretty clear. And I think he needs to be impeached as soon as possible. And that's all I really have to say.
All right. You have about 45 seconds remaining. You surrender your 45 seconds, Jimmy James?
Let me think here. Nah, yeah, I'll surrender that. Go ahead.
All right. Jimmy James is now back on hold. And that means that we're going to bring Harlan around as soon as my clock hits the 12 again. And I'll give him exactly 2 minutes if he wishes to use it all or not. Up to him. But it's all whatever he wants to say. And not even B. Pete or I will interrupt a single thing Harlan has to say. I might jump in if he stops talking and ask him if he's done, something like that, but that's it. So, Harlan, get ready in about 3, 2, and 1. You are on the air.
Well, first of all, I want to say that in no way, shape, fashion, or form am I simping for Joe Biden, upholding what he's done as president or anything else. All I'm saying is, we keep hearing this, every time that you throw a fact out about Trump, it's flip back, it's spin. Trump had 4 years to end the war. He run on ending the war. He had 2 years, one more time, to do a lot of stuff, a lot of small things. As far as unconstitutional goes, they ain't nobody that's been more unconstitutional before Trump. End of story. Check his record. Whether it is, you know, pick a Bill of Rights issue, especially the first, second, and fourth. Okay. Why does everything, it's like, you know, with the deal about the wall. Trump had 4 years. Trump flip-flopped on just about every major thing, every chance he could. It was corporate first. It was big business first. And he signed over six that was on the books, like Ford and a slush fund that Walmart and a lot of corporations got a hold of. Then there was the 800 and 600 billion here, trillion there, you know, adding up, leading up and adding up beforehand, and he gets up 11 or 12 trillion wrapped in there for 3 or 4 months of 2020. He shut down and funded California, several other states, and everybody wants to blame it on the Democratic governors. The governor of Tennessee, so-called red state utopia governor, done 85% of what the Democrat governor's done. And that's the bottom line, and you can sit and scream orange Jesus till you blue in the face. You can come up with every excuse. He was a failure, and that's the way it is. This has been nothing but a big grift. Everybody talks about the Biden, you know, crime family and the money they're getting in. You know, they may be getting it in a crooked way, and I'm not saying they ain't. I'm not, you know, I can't say that they've done that or that they've not. Chances are they probably have. But look at all these billions that the Trumps and basically any of the mainline Trump trainers have just grifted and stole off people. Just
there you go. And I let him go a couple of extra seconds there because he cut out for about 10 or 12 seconds. So sorry, Harlan, I cut you there based on the two-minute time limit. But I think you got your thoughts in. There may be another thing at the end here where we'll let a last shout-out go through. Lisa, it is going to be your turn up next as soon as we get around back to the 12, which is coming up in about 10 seconds. And I'm going to let you loose. And, again, neither BP nor I will interrupt you. So in 3 and 2 and 1... Lisa, you're live.
Oh. I'm sorry. I feel like we have to laugh for 2 minutes. This is so fantastic. But it's a little stifling, Chuck, when you do that kind of format. But let me say this. I can't say I disagree with anything that Jimmy James said. I really, really have to applaud what Holland said, okay? And it all comes down to this. Are we in England or something? Like, I mean, everybody thinks that the president is the savior, right? I mean, it's supposed to be resting and hinging on who the hell is president. I mean, I've come to the realization, voting is not going to fix this. This is a flipping rig system. We're all pretending like if we do something, if we put the right person in, everything's going to, you know, it's all going to magically get fixed. Hell no. Until people start to realize that this system is broken, we have to start going outside of the system. And, yeah. So I'll wrap it up with that.
So you wrap it up.
But I did want to add one more thing. Just for the record, Trump did close down the United States for 2 years. He was the trigger of this pandemic crap. Just saying. Mm. Okay. So thank you.
Fair enough. You had about 15 more seconds, but let's just put it this way. Give us a plug for the new prisoners, and then I'll put you back on hold. Every Friday at what?
No. Chris does that better than I do. I'm not good at that.
All right. I'll let Chris do it, and we'll do it that way. Chris, you're still on the line, so you can do a new prisoners plug, and I will put Lisa back on hold. But that was the only way to let everybody cleanly say what they wanted to say, B. Pete, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Was I on a line doing it that way? What do you think?
No, we may have to institute this as a regular section of the show when things get out of hand.
Only when they get out of hand, we trigger the single caller at a time, right?
I know.
Format, the timeout.
Well, you know, and I appreciate the passion of everybody and wanting to get in the conversation. I mean, it makes for a good conversation, but it just gets the medium that we're using just causes people to walk on each other, and it's hard to hear. I mean, you can't hear the good points being made when you can't hear anything at all.
And one way or another, here's the funny part. I actually agree with all three of the callers that are on the phone lines and Chris Graves.
Oh, I do too. I do too. You know, and that's,
I know.
That's the good thing about having this round table is you get a lot of diverse information in there, and everybody has their biases. I have mine, you have yours, Jimmy's got his, everybody's got theirs, and it's understandable. But it's gotten to the point that politics in this country are now so far in the gutter that it's hard to discuss. It's hard to discuss solutions to problems when all we want to do is argue about the problems.
Well, passion is a guarantee, but solutions remain elusive. So with that, Chris, why don't you do a plug for the new prisoners since two of you are here, and we'll do that. And then I've got a crazy idea for the very, very end. So since you didn't use up much of your time, tell us about the new prisoners. It's on Friday mornings, isn't it? Live?
Yeah, TNP or the new prisoners every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rumble and Odyssey. And our Twitter feeds. That's about it.
There you go. So, and that does include our friend prisoner number six. Of course,
John Henry.
John Henry. That's who I was going to bring up. The guy with the booming voice who is now the voiceover guy for Get Mad with Chris Graves. That's the voice I replaced myself with. And really, really happy that he agreed to do that for us because it sounds a hell of a lot better than mine did. So there you go. And, of course, Get Mad with Chris Graves is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here at 6 p.m. Eastern on Ocelli.com. There may be a new show or two coming, but until then, we just have the four shows running out of this place. And Chris is a huge part of it, but he also does Digging with Chris Graves and conspiring with Mr. Cooper.
It's not Hanging with Mr. Cooper. That was a TGIF show back in the 90s. Tomorrow we have a very special guest on Conspiring with Mr. Cooper. That's Tom Cooper and myself as the trusty sidekick to Mr. Cooper, and we'll be having Mr. Chuck Ocelli and possibly a cult priestess on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's on we'll also be live streaming on Rumble and Odyssey, and my official Twitter page on this a lot here. My official Twitter is at C Graves Mass Guy, and we're looking forward to that.
And as an added bonus, I'm going to stream the audio directly here on Ocelli.com. So for those of you who listen to radio feed and the radio station, the online radio station that is Ocelli.com Radio, you'll hear the audio live as it happens tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then I have other obligations that won't be aired live, but we're 24/7 restreaming and Chuck, replaying. And yes,
and Chuck, just for people that know that don't know, this is a more humor oriented podcast. So we got a couple of ideas cooking around, and I think you and everyone listening might get a kick out of it.
Well, let's have fun. A cult priestess will be my guest very, very soon, along with some other interesting and brand new people coming up next week. In fact, I have a very interesting filmmaker coming up on Monday. Let me just double check. See, I know his film and everything, but I don't know if I'm prepared to plug it right here and now. Let's see if I got it. Everybody's sending me messages. Oh my God. You know how many emails I get? Like during the course of the show, I've already just gotten 30 more emails. I get over 100 a day. It's like insane, guys. And I appreciate all of you, and I try and write to everybody, just so you know. But Mike Wallach will be my guest on Monday night, and he's done a very interesting film about the scam of the pandemic. So we're going to get into that, and that's a guy I guarantee you nobody else has had among our small little clique of people that we all know each other real, real well. This is a new guy I'm introducing into the equation, former Hollywood director turned documentary filmmaker, and that ought to be a lot of fun at 8 p.m. Eastern on Ocelli.com at my regular time. So now that we've done all these wonderful plugs and everything else, B. Pete, I'm feeling like I'm going to loose some chaos here and let everybody off the hold and just see what happens as we close out the show. I have nothing else to say. Is there anything you want me to add, you want to add in before I let everybody loose?
Yeah, we didn't get our 2 minutes on the subjects that were involved involved earlier, and okay. I got 2 minutes here. I may claim three. I may reclaim my time from a prior show. But okay. I'd like to thank all the callers. I do. I mean, and they all bring out good points. You know, I agree with Jimmy James on a lot that he brings to the table, because I'm more conservative than a lot of people out there, and probably too conservative for most, but that's beside the point. Lisa brings up some good points, and Harlan brought up some excellent points. Vanarchy in the room is bringing up some good points, along with Phase Shifter and the rest of them.
Oh, I didn't look at chat. Yeah, sorry, guys.
I've been trying to keep up with it as we go. But, you know, Biden has been a terrible president. He's not really done anything except look out for himself. This is his last chance to grift. Once he gets done with this next, if he gets another term, that's it for him. He's got no other avenue that he could shake down countries from Romania to Botswana and get his $1 million out of each one, out of free money that they've got. That our State Department gives them money for certain programs. That money turns right around and comes back to Biden in a bribe. So he's just doing what he can to get what he can out of the system before he becomes irrelevant. He's 80 years old. People are seeing him mentally break down in front of everyone on TV every day. So it's not going to be long before all he's going to be worried about is bird videos and eating pudding. Mm. So Trump has done some good things. Trump didn't get a lot of things done. Trump, and I hate to make this comparison because I know it's going to piss off some people. Uh-oh. And probably one that's on the phone right now. Trump is no different than Nixon. Nixon, he ran on 4 years and we're going to end Vietnam. You know, conveniently, he didn't get around to it till his second term. Same thing with Trump. Trump ran on the fact that he was going to end the war, and he had a chance to do it, but he waited because he thought he was going to have a second term, and it didn't pan out that way. In the world economy right now, Trump was out there overspending just like the rest of them. Our Congress, since we got off having to pass a budget years ago and everything is a continuing resolution, we no longer can control the spending because the way that Congress goes about financing the things that we do. Yes, inflation is out of control right now. Inflation needs to come down. Mm. It's not entirely Joe Biden's fault. Look at Congress, who was pumping all this money into this economy during COVID, not considering the effect on inflation. When you flood the market with money, inflation automatically goes up. That's the number one rule. Mm-hmm. And nobody cared about it because we were trying to keep things going as we're through. So which is worse, having Biden in office, who is, you know, the puppet for the money he's receiving from communist China, or some other individual that's in office or in a position in Congress or the Senate that is beholden to big pharma or big military industrial complex? They're all owned by somebody. Mm-hmm. You just got to start digging through and find out who's paying the bill to find out why things are coming out of their mouth the way that they are.
Oh yeah.
Every election for the past 20 years has been the lesser of two evils. And I'm tired of having to make that choice. It's either this guy or that guy. This one's backed by big pharma and the banks. This one's backed by our adversaries overseas. It's all the same thing. It's the very same. People don't realize we got one team. Only one's wearing home jerseys and one's wearing away jerseys until the next week when they swap jerseys and they argue about something else.
Well, and so the bottom line, you know, I think that's your 2 minutes.
When your president is just, excuse me?
I think your 2 minutes is done, but go ahead.
I'm claiming another minute from my time.
Okay.
Immigration. We have a problem with immigration. Nobody is addressing it. Trump could have shut down the border. Biden could have shut down the border. Obama could have shut down the border. Bush could have shut down the border. Yep. They haven't. The Democrats want votes. They want everybody coming across the line. Here's your free cell phone. Here's a free blanket. Oh, and here's your voter registration. And I would check the box that says demo. Republicans want immigrations coming in because they want cheap lawn care for their businesses and their homes. They want cheap costs for construction because they're paying a guy $10 cash under the table instead of having to go through the process and file all the paperwork and pay a Social Security in that as well. Mm. It's both. Both are just as bad as the other. Until we can break the system, until something can happen where we can actually break this system. You're not going to see any change in Washington until we get rid of the career politicians. That's what it's become now. It's a job. I never thought, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I'd like to start out locally and then work my way in the House of Representatives and then eventually become a senator and possibly become a presidential candidate down the road because I don't have to do crap and receive a bunch of money. People will throw money at me just being in that position. And then I can claim to have the virtue that's higher than anyone else and go about my business and not have to answer for a damn thing that I do.
There you go.
Once you get enough money in the system, you can pretty much guarantee. How in the hell has Mitch McConnell been in the position he's been in as long as he has? How has Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Gerald Nadler, all of them, they're career politicians that are being paid by people that you never see and never hear about to do their bidding while they're there.
Well,
until
because,
we can get that money out of politics, you're not going to save a damn thing in this country. Because no matter how hard your grassroots efforts start, you're dealing with bankrolls coming from individuals who want the system run their way, and they're paying for it, and they expect to see results for their money.
That's
so
it.
So all I can say is Tulsi Gabbard 2024.
Okay, that's what you say about it. What I say is, look, it's still a representative government, but they represent their paymasters, and you're going to have to figure out who they are because they're not you and me. They're supposed to represent you and me, but that's not the way it actually goes. So I'm in agreement, and at the bottom line here, I guess we should all remember that the one benefit is if Trump gets back in, he says he can end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. So there's that. Now, you want to imagine how that goes? Whatever. I'm opening the phone lines, B-Pete, and who knows how this show's going to close. We're just going to see what happens. And I'm just going to open everybody's lines back up. And that's that, folks. I want to let everybody get a final sort of say in, but go ahead, B-Pete, see if you can manage it. Everybody's up and running, including Chris. And I got silence. Did I disconnect?
They'd be killing each other.
Did I disconnect?
Well, let me just say this.
Oh, okay. Lisa spoke up first. Go ahead.
Yes. Mic drop. Until the last sentence. Just say it. Had me on my edge of my seat. I wish there were like emoji buttons that I could be pressing so you could see me clapping. With all the great comments. Oh, my God, I was loving it. Except for Tulsi.
Except for Tulsi.
I had to get mine in.
Thank you.
She doesn't get enough respect in the media, and I think we should commend her. She served out honorably. She got out of Dodge when the getting was good. But I think she got a raw deal when it came to the last election because the Democrats conspired and just kept her off the stage. They didn't want to hear her voice because they knew she could be a contender if they allowed her to speak.
Massive.
And I think she was censored out of it, and it wasn't fair.
Look, I'm not going to address Tulsi Gabbard, but I have a massive objection to you comparing Trump to Nixon. Why? Because Nixon served his country. So, you know, I'm just saying, one way or another, even if he was a crook, whatever, I don't think he was a crook that was not commensurate with his time
Trump
period.
Trump served. He was the commander in chief.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't subjected to eating an MRE in the back of a truck in the middle of the field while he was training. But as commander in chief, you carry a lot of weight being the guy that issues the orders.
Okay, fine, if that's the way you want to call it. Anyways, we'll leave it at that. Anybody else want to get something in before we're done?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy James.
Shout out.
Yes, go ahead. Shout out, Jimmy James.
Are we shouting out? Well, October 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know. Big whoop-dee-doo. It doesn't matter. Now we have ICBMs. Every day is the Cuban Missile Crisis and the China Missile Crisis and the Russia Missile Crisis. And people need to get off their asses and start voting because who in office does matter. Life is not a joke. Yep. Peace.
There you go. Jimmy James with his final shout out. So, Harlan, you got a closer?
Hey, well, I appreciate y'all letting me on again tonight. I mean, I always enjoy everybody, including Jimmy. I just, you know, kind of get wore out with the Trump deal.
Harlan, you're breaking up.
I'd like to say,
there you go.
I'll get out of the way.
Go ahead. Sorry, you were breaking up there, Harlan. Go ahead.
How about now?
You're okay now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy, you know, everybody on the show. I like listening to it. And I enjoy a lot of, you know, stuff that Jimmy says. And I agree with him on, you know, some of the stuff about Biden. You know, it's just, you know, every time you turn around, and especially where I live at, my circle, you know, of people that I'm around, it's always an excuse for Trump, like to deal with the general and stopping the war, you know, the same way with Fauci. Old Fauci said, and he got this bad advice, look, the proof's in the pudding, folks. If you like Trump, vote Trump 2024, make America gag again. And that's about all I got to say, you know, and I'll step back out of the way in case somebody else, you know, wants to say something.
Amen, brother. Okay, so how about Chris? You got something you want to drop? You always got something. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that thank you for having me, and thank you for producing my show, Chuck. And I look forward to you meeting Mr. Tom Cooper tomorrow. And I enjoy Harlan and Lisa and Jimmy James. And so all I can say about that is just donate at, if you can, at Ocelli.com. And, yeah, just check out the Ocelli Effect. And I'll talk to you soon.
There you go. And I'll be on a guest on a nationally syndicated radio show very shortly. I'm pre-recording in the next few days, and I'm not allowed to announce where it is. So, but I will let you guys know as soon as it's in the can and ready to roll. Anyway, that is happening, and going to have to leave it at that. So, Lisa, anything else you want to drop before we go? And I'm going to turn it to BP after you, and then we're done.
No. Hey, listen, thanks for making my Friday night. I love you guys. This, you know, really, this is such a great place to be. And thanks for letting me hang with you guys.
Always a pleasure, Lisa. Always a pleasure. The new prisoners, always welcome over here at Ocelli.com. Pete, take it away, my friend. You close out the show this week.
Well, it's been another hectic week, both in the news and in our personal lives, but we were able to get together and pull this off for another Friday. So, you know, the one thing I've noticed about this show is anybody can take part in it. Over time, we've had more people call in. We do have a core group that usually contacts us on Friday nights, and it's great to get together. I mean, it's like a group of guys in the bar group of people. Let me include women too, Lisa. I don't want anybody to feel excluded. It's a group of friends that get together
yes.
and basically shoot crap around the table on a Friday night, which is a great thing. You don't see this in a lot of other forms of media. You know, this isn't a podcast. We're a live show. It just comes out in podcast form later so you can catch it. We don't rely on the podcast to get through. So I'm glad that we've gone as long as we have on these Friday nights. It's enjoyable. We get a lot of knowledge from the people that call in about various topics. So I'm glad to see that it's gone this far, and I'd like to keep it going. Other than that, all I can say is thanks to all the callers, Harlan, Lisa, Jimmy James, Chris, Van in the room, Phase Shifter, all of you. You know, appreciate you coming in and making this a party of your Friday nights, and hopefully we can build on it in the future. But we've got election season coming up, so we're going to have some heated discussions on this about what people are saying and what they're doing. And I think we're all going to be kind of a little disappointed when we find out exactly who's running, because there are so many other people out there that could do this country good, but they don't want to get into the political machine and basically ruin their lives trying to do some good. So a lot of people out there, you know, that silent majority is something different now. There's a silent majority out there, but the reason that they're silent is because they don't want the wackos in this world to start destroying their lives for simply taking a position on an item.
There you go.
It's a shame. We need more participation from people, and we need better choices. We seriously need some better choices, but We need to provide openings for those choices and get rid of these, the behemoth that sits in Washington sucking up PAC money and lobbyist money to ruin this country just so they can fill their wallet.
Right.
That's what our politics has gotten into. How can I personally, how can I enhance myself financially and still give the impression that I give a crap about those people that I represent?
There you go.
We need to clean house. Trump said he was going to drain the swamp. There's no way Trump could do it on his own. What we need to do is change these career politicians to get rid of these career political hacks that are ruined in your life behind the scenes because they're an unfireable government employee coming up with these ridiculous regulations that in no way represent what the reason for the law was that was proposed. That's where you get screwed. It ain't in the law, it's in the rules. And you got career people that are actually politicians that don't have to run for office making those damn rules.
There you go.
That's what we need to change. And on that, I'm done.